Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thought it was Monday, but then I realized we were here yesterday. This is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. One of those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so expect to see one pop up over there tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Oh, all right. So, you know, Dan, obviously, I didn't get to see a ton of the Monday night game because, you know, my wonderful job is starting even earlier now because it's that time of the year there. So, I caught a little bit of it. I heard the score while I was at work, and I thought, oh, okay, that's a pretty interesting game. So I came home, and I flipped on the NFL Network because I thought for sure, you know, they would be talking about it. And yeah, you know, they were all over it. The very first thing I heard, the guy talking about it says that Patrick Mahomes just had the greatest game in NFL history for a quarterback. And I thought, oh, okay, that's cool. So I had my phone out and I thought, okay, well, and I'm going through it. I'm like, well, you know, he threw for a boatload of yards. And oddly, after this guy praised him up and down, right and left, and basically put him in the Hall of Fame after, 11 since? I think 12 career starts or something like that. Oddly, he forgot to mention that he threw 3 interceptions, fumbled twice, and his team lost. So I'm realizing that the problem with sports right now isn't sports itself. It's the reporting of sports. Because, you know, these guys just get too carried away with one of making everything the greatest that they've ever seen that they have to make it fit into what they want. And in reality, Mahomes lost that game for the Chiefs last night because the last two possessions he was horrible on. So I don't know, A, how it's the greatest game because you had 5 turnovers personally, and B, your team lost. Can it be the greatest game in history, Dan, if your team comes out on the losing end?
No, well, that was another thing. That I saw the headline that it's the greatest Monday night game ever. Is that because of the score was so high?
Yes, because it was offense, Dan, and offense is the only thing that matters.
I mean, to me, it really didn't, with that kind of scoring, to me, it wasn't the greatest game ever.
No, personally, I enjoy seeing defense being played. But, you know, with the new – and I understand that the NFL had to try to make the game safer because they would just get murdered, mercilessly in the media if they didn't do something. The issue, of course, now is it's made it more or less impossible to play defense. So, you know, when you've got teams like this that are just, you know, incredibly talented on offense, this is what you're going to get. And I'm actually surprised on how many people just loved it and didn't care that there was no defense. You know, and I know I heard one guy try to sell it because I think there were a couple defensive touchdowns scored. Well, you know, those are just fluky. It's not like you can plan to score a defensive touchdown. So, yeah, it was – I mean, I was shocked by the way a lot of the media kind of responded to it. Like, you know, this was the greatest game that they had ever seen played. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I really missed something then.
I mean, it would have been even greater if three touchdowns, but when they got in the red zone, they kept not giving it to him. So I lost my my fantasy week.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was one of those games. Last night, Mr. Fantasy and I went in with the lead for our Money League team in one of our games. The only guy that our opponent had playing was the Rams. I think technically he's their fourth receiver. That game was so wild that the Rams' fourth receiver scored enough points for Mr. Fantasy and I to lose. The guy had a 1% chance of going into that game to beat us, according to the rankings on CBS Fantasy Sports, and he beat us. Because the fourth receiver in a crappy, you know, 100-and-whatever-point game put up enough fantasy points to make it viable for them to get a win. And I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. You know, and then how much of it did you end up seeing? Any of the game? Did you get to watch some of it?
No, I didn't end up watching it. I thought it was going to be a blowout. Well, not blowout, but I was so off on my week, I forgot it was Monday.
Yeah. I had that problem today. I don't know why the heck that happened. It was just one of those things. But I realized that I have a tad bit of an issue with Mr. Fantasy. You may remember this, Dan, and I'm sure actually our listeners, if you go way back, Dan and I have heard this one before. Remember all the running quarterback complaints that we used to get every time we talked to him about the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not once this year has he mentioned anything about good old Mitchell Trubisky, the Biscuit, who definitely takes off and runs way too much for an NFL quarterback, and then the Bears actually call running plays for him. Well, now the Biscuit has a bum throwing shoulder, and there's a chance that he's not going to be able to play Thursday because the Bears have a short week and are playing on Thanksgiving. But yet, you know, all the time we heard Mr. Fantasy just kill Cam Newton and the Panthers. What happened to the local team here, Dan? No complaints about the Biscuit getting killed?
No comment.
Yeah, almost sounds like he's a homer, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, hasn't he always been?
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, you know, right, wrong, is wrong. And it's just one of those, one of those. But, yeah, I just, you know, when I saw the injury report today, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. But, yeah, like I said, no complaints at all. I mean, obviously, we spent 2 hours together every Sunday. Didn't say a word about the Biscuit taking off and running. Or, you know, I know, like I said, they call some designed running plays for him. You know, he has the run-pass option that's so popular now in the NFL. And he keeps the ball quite a bit during those. And, nothing ever came out. So, I don't know, Dan. I call foul there. I do. I think there's something stinks in Farmville.
Well, I mean, if he's allowed to they'll go on Sunday. You'll have to ask them.
Yeah, you know, you never know how that will work out. So we'll have to see. But yeah, in case you're wondering, you know, the Bears, they have the first game on Thursday, so it is possible we will see Chase Daniels at quarterback. So you'll have to keep an eye out of that over the next couple games. I know they said apparently all Trubisky is going to do is watch film tomorrow, and he basically will be a game time decision. So. You know, we can definitely we'll definitely have to check that out. And you know, and then Dan, while I was watching my the NFL Network, I got to hear my favorite segment, you know, which is guys you need to go out and pick up on the waiver wire. And every single guy they named, no surprise to you and I, already on teams in our league. So yeah, not a lot of help from those guys. But yeah, I'm sure you're not surprised by that at all. That was the advice they gave, huh?
No, not at all.
So, you know, and now are you planning your Thanksgiving viewing of your NFL games? You know, there are three now. You know, I think the Bears and the Lions start, then we get the Redskins and the – who are they playing? They're playing the Cowboys. And then what the heck is the night game? I'm going to actually have to take a quick look here and figure it out. But, you know, I don't know if I like the three games. I kind of like the two, you know, when they did the kind of regular thing. But, you know, I guess that's just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, do you have your viewing set up? Or what are your plans for Thursday?
I don't know. I'll probably be listening on my headphones while I do the leaves in the backyard before we go to my mother-in-law.
It's actually the Falcons at the Saints. So we'll get to watch the Saints put up about 100 points against that horrible Falcon defense. So, while we are here, what are the odds? Since the Bears are playing, what are the odds that Mr. Fantasy actually gets me a pick?
Well, he should be off Thursday, right?
Yeah, so you would think. But yeah, you know that.
50-1.
Yeah, you know, I do wonder how that will work out. So we'll have to, you know, because obviously you and I aren't going to be here, so we'll have to see how it works out, so I won't be able to talk about it. But, yeah, I have a, you know, now see, that's the thing. Now, the other thing is I would get yelled at because I would get the, well, you knew who I was going to pick. Well, no, I don't really know who you're going to pick. You know, I mean, I have a general idea, but I don't know. So...
I guess we can go to the Bears on that one, but if Trubisky's not playing, that changes up everything.
So, yeah, I just, you know, like I said, again, it's one of those situations where I just really, I can't win, you know, if he, yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, I was going to do this or I was going to, okay, I believe you. I really do. But you forgot to call me or text me or email me or the other 8,000, you could even tweet me, which I'm not quite sure he remembers how to do. So...
Does anybody?
I don't think, you know, I get, yeah, I don't, well, occasionally I'll get a tweet from besides you, but yeah, not too many, you know.
No, I don't get a whole lot either. I'm just not that social media savvy.
No, you know, I try. But I guess I'm just not cool. You know, I don't talk about the right thing. I, you know, I don't know what it is, but because, you know, it's weird, because like I'll see like people we've had on the podcast in the day, you know, and they'll have, you know, like the one guy from out in Oakland that we used to have on all the time has like thousands of Twitter followers. And I'm just kind of like, man, how did I not get 1,000 Twitter followers? So, you know, but, you know, I can't get over, what am I at? I'm like at 129 or 30 or something, and I'm just, that's it. That's where I sit. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the other side of it is I think you and I were definitely more active when we were new to it, and I just get bored. You know, you're scrolling your feed, and it's, you know, 50 or 100 people, same thing.
Yeah, I do get kind of tired when my feed gets political. That kind of bothers me because I don't want to, you know, really hear political ideas because they're not politicians. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just one of those.
Well, not even just that. You know, I mean, like with all the stuff I follow, especially when it comes to baseball, you know, the James Paxton deal, for instance, you just keep scrolling and that's all I see. You know, how many times can you even respond or retweet them, and then how many times before you see it where, you know, it all comes from Associated Press, but I don't know, bored with it.
Yeah, you know, that's always, you know, the other part of the issue. And, you know, it used to be a lot more fun when we could get Mr. Fantasy to actually reply and participate. You know, but God, you know, God forbid we get him to, he started out okay this year, but that only lasted, was it a week or 2 weeks?
I think it was only 1 week, one Thursday night game.
Yeah. Well, no, I know he made it through that Sunday because he replied to a couple of my Sunday tweets. But, yeah, that was kind of the end of it. And it was just like, oh, okay, I guess we tried. I don't know. You know, I mean, you're really just sitting on your couch watching the game. You know, is it that difficult? Is it that distracting to, you know, reply to a tweet? But yeah, I don't, you know, what do I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
just how I am. So, I was trying, you know, I thought there was one more wonderfully interesting football thing that I wanted to ask you, and I'm just drawing a blank on it. So I'm guessing it probably wasn't that important. You know, just want to, yeah, right. You know how that goes, right?
Oh, yeah. Must have been a lie.
Did you have anything important football-wise that I forgot?
No, we already talked about the greatest game in Monday Night history, so.
Oh, that was, I did see, you know, I know we haven't heard a lot of ratings talk this year, and I did want to ask you, is that because ratings are up? So nobody wants to bring it up, because you rarely hear about the ratings at all now for the NFL, and they are up compared to the last couple seasons. You know, everybody was all excited to kind of jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, yeah, you know, it's over, you know, say goodbye to the NFL as king and all this stuff. And, you know, now the ratings have bounced back and nobody said a word. Why is that, Dan?
Because there's nothing controversial. You can't really talk about the kneeling or the standing or sitting or whatever because they're not showing it, which I think is what they should have done to begin with.
Yeah, that would have been a much better choice for them had they decided to handle it that way instead of the way they did handle it, but. You know, right? Again, this kind of goes back to what do you and I know, right? Nobody listens to us. So,
Well, you know, that's just like NBC Sports Chicago keeps posting almost every day stories about, you know, Harper and Machado. And I responded with something, you know, as a matter of fact, that, you know, here's NBC just trying to get people to click on their links again. And some guy told me to quit, you know, stop crying. I'm like, who's crying?
Yeah. Yeah, what are you crying about, you know?
I'm not crying because the White Sox aren't going to get them. I'm stating the fact.
Yeah.
And then NBC Sports Chicago, you know, maybe you should talk about the Bulls or the Blackhawks, which are, you know, both teams are pretty uninteresting right now, and the Bears. Why are you talking about something that's not realistic?
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of, you know, like you said, they're trying to find a way to get people to, you know, hit that link. So. You know, just to see who will do it.
Well, you know, and that was another thing. You know, I was looking at the White Sox farm system, and since my internet isn't working, you're going to have to do a little digging. It won't be too difficult, but,
uh-oh.
Well, the White Sox drafted last year their first-round pick. I forgot his name. If you go on SpotTrack, it's in there. He's a shortstop. He's their number one draft pick. You know, Bruce Levine, I know your favorite, new favorite guy, projected him to be, you know, starting next year at shortstop, which I don't see maybe more 2020. And then they have another, like a slugger that plays third base. So in the talks of Manny Machado, you've got two guys that potentially could be up for this team in 2020, 2021. You know, here again, you're going to use those guys as trade bait, or you're going to sign Machado for 7 to 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I remembered a third baseman's name from a couple drafts ago. That was Jake Berger. I think I only remember the name because it's associated with food. so, yeah. I'll have to look up the guy from last year to see who he was here. I thought he was a second baseman, though, not shortstop. But I guess, you know, you could always move him over or whatever you got to do here for these games. Okay, that's what's going to – thank you, MLB.com,
yeah, but,
for again.
You know, with what they kind of are going with and what we can see, you know, especially with the pitching being developed and Kopech going to be out next year, you know, the Machado deal just absolutely makes no sense. You know, Cubs fan or Sox fan or not, why would they do it?
Yeah, well, you know, then I mean, the other thing, why would he come here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like we kind of talked about it at, you know, before. Is it Nick Mandrigal is who you were talking about?
No.
Oh, they do have him listed as a shortstop. Yeah, he was the 2018 first rounder, was Nick Mandrigal.
Was it him?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the name. I could be. Now there's another one, but like I said, I don't have internet, so I can't tell you.
Well, let me, I was just going by the draft because that's what you said, but let me.
Yeah. Well, if you went on SpotTrack in their roster. Oh, wait, here we go. Maybe it is Major. Oh, no. Over on SpotTrack, it has another kid listed, but I don't know. I guess maybe that's a topic for tomorrow, but it just killed me because neither side does it make sense for either one of these teams to sign either one of these guys.
Yeah, no, you know, I didn't think it made a ton of sense either, but, you know, that's, you know how it is. That's how they get and the way things go. And now I have to look and see who is who here. make sure I got the right site. Okay.
Because he might have actually been an international pick, maybe not just a draft pick. You know, it's confusing with all the drafting that Major League Baseball does, you know.
All right. Now, where do you find what was he under? Is he current contracts or what's he under?
Yeah, it would be the list under a current contract. He doesn't have any numbers associated with his name if you see the entire team.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking for shortstops. Jose Rondon?
Yes, that kid.
Okay, yeah, I know he made some appearances last year. I thought he did okay with that when he got in.
Bruce Levine is projecting him to be their starting guy next year, leading off for the team. Like I said, I don't really see that because you figure at least a couple years down in the minors, you know, with the track that the White Sox run, I didn't really expect that. Even if you are a White Sox fan, I wouldn't want to get too excited. Think that next year is going to be the year they're going to be a quote-unquote year or two early like the Cubs were. But, you know, I'm looking for a more competitive team in 2020. I think they'll really start getting their stuff together then. But, again, you know, like you mentioned, Jake Berger and then Rondon with these guys. Why, again, if you're looking to stay young, would you go after Machado?
And,
why wouldn't he just join Baltimore if he wants to be kind of rebuild?
I do believe when the time is right, they're going to have to add a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, is next year it? And here you go, Dan. Rondon played in 42 games last year. He did hit 6 homers, but he hit .230.
Dude.
In 42 games, he scored 30 times, walked 7. Even at Charlotte, while he did hit 18 home runs, he only hit .249. So I don't know if that's the guy I'm looking for to put in my leadoff spot.
Probably not, but, you know, he's been compared to Javi.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, you know, the same, you know, Dominican player, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, on the plus side, he didn't make any errors when he played shortstop. He played 10 games there, so that's, you know, for the White Sox. He made 8 at Charlotte over 660 innings. So it looks like he's a solid defender. There was
a crazy game, but I just don't see him coming here.
Yeah.
He was kind of tough.
No, there was some interesting local news that I wanted to get to you and make sure we got this right away before I forget. Did you see that Jim Harrison signed as the Cubs pitching coach? Oh no, did I knock Dan out with that news? Dan, where did you go? Oh, he's still there.
All right,
I don't know what happened to Dan.
Extra long announcement. We're going and joining. We're really obnoxious. I didn't even hear what you said.
I said, did you hear that the Cubs pitching coach, Jim Hickey, resigned today?
No, I didn't really read anything today. I'm surprised I didn't even get an email. The Cubs usually
I believe it was time-wise, I think it was relatively recent. I just gotta see if they it's like an hour ago. At least you didn't hear it. Yeah, you didn't get anything yet. That's a little surprising. Yeah, they are saying it's due to personal reasons. Of course, obviously, since it is personal, they're not going to go into any kind of detail. In reality, he should have resigned because, well, it's late that he was a terrible pitching coach last season. So,
you know, he personally realized that he ruined the entire pitching staff last year, or?
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, you know, he's Joe Madden's guy, so, you know, that's why they brought him in. You know, they were a great duo together in Tampa, and, you know, he was going to fix the Cubs' pitching woes, and everything was going to be fantastic, but, you know, he couldn't straighten Tyler Chatwood out, could do anything with, you know, Quintana or any of the other guys, and, you know, it's probably best that he does step away because, like I said, he wasn't helping the team.
No, and, you know, it's another example why the front office should be researching and hiring coaches that are on the staff, not just taking on the manager's guy. You know, they should be going after the best person available. But then again, they don't they just recruit guys who even play for months.
You know, I understand that you need somebody that your manager works well with. So, you know, like, I wasn't against bringing him in because, you know, they had a history together. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it looked like it was going to be an interesting change. And you thought, oh, okay, you know, they're going to have basically the kind of success that they had in Tampa with, you know, getting some, you know, some young guys to really put things together. And obviously, you know, they guys went the exact opposite way. I mean, you can't say Hendricks improved. You can't say Quintana improved. They couldn't fix Chatwood. The bullpen was a joke. So, you know, he somebody needed to go, and it wasn't going to be Madden. So.
No, but, you know, we talked about this at the end of the season. Or not the end of this season, but obviously the end of last season. The hitting wasn't working. So what do? The first thing they do, fire the pitching coach.
Yeah.
You know, does it look like Lazio is that bad right now? No.
Yeah, well, yeah, in the end that did work out, you know, because he had that racial issue in Detroit with the alleged name-calling, which he did deny. I mean, we don't know one way or the other if it did happen. You know, it did cost him a job. So, you know, we'll just, that's one of those things, you know, we'll never seem to find out. So, but yeah, I don't know, you know, I don't know where they go now, you know, three pitching coaches in three seasons. So.
Mike Quaddy.
Yeah. Can he coach pitchers? I don't even know. I'm sure he probably could. But yeah, when I saw that, I was kind of like, oh, got to make sure I let Dan know this in case he doesn't. No.
Well, did you see it first, or did you get an email? I didn't hear the.
I actually saw it. So, yeah, I was trying to think. Actually, I saw it, believe it or not, on Twitter while we were talking about Twitter earlier. I went through and the Cubs put it out with the little goodbye note that Theo wrote about it, you know, for personal reasons and all that kind of stuff. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hashtag another one bites the dust.
No, that's how I hashtagged it, but, you know, it's kind of how you and I are. So. But yeah, and then the other thing I came across that just, well, he kind of involves one of your guys, you know, we talked about it yesterday. The Mariners are in, you know, basically complete rebuild mode. The deal, it looks like they have proposed now, and I don't know if this is going to come true. I've seen different reports on they're working on this, and then I saw another one that said that they're not even close to this. But allegedly they approached the Padres, and the Mariners are willing to send San Diego Gene Segura and Mike Leake for Will Myers, your guy.
That's an interesting trade. What is
Myers is under contract till 2022, so they would have him for a while, and he's only 27. You know, he has had some injury issues. You always got to kind of worry about that. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been a, solid. I don't know if you know his career average is just 253. He doesn't have a great average, but, he is a big-time power guy, and he can steal bases. Former rookie of the year, and, as of recently, he's, last year, I didn't realize this, he played all the outfield positions in San Diego. Along with first, and even played third. I'm guessing he didn't play too many games at third. I will have to check that standard fielding chart here to see. I was a little off. It looks like he played 36 games at third. 36 at third, 31 in left, 10 in right. Only two at first base, one in center, and he was a beautiful one. Well, I don't know. You see them getting this deal done?
I mean, Segura is a pretty solid middle-aged killer. I don't think they're going to make it, but I'm not sure how that works.
So, I think they would be both upgrades for San Diego. Leak would fit well into their rotation, and I know they've been, Freddie Galvis had a pretty good year for them at shortstop last year, but Segura has played some second base, and so has Galvis, so they could easily, move one guy one way or the other. I guess the biggest issue here, Dan, is both of the Mariners players have no trade clauses. You think they'll be able to get them to agree to move?
I mean, all you gotta do is say to James Segura is we're gonna keep Steve Jordan. So I think he's ready to go. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello.
Mic check. Did you hear what I said?
barely. We're kinda crackling a little bit while you're talking.
Yeah, I heard my mic on accident. As I said, I think with James Segura, all you got to say is go up to him and say, hey, we want to stay with D. Gordon. He's like, oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll see. It may take a little bit to get this done. But, yeah, again, it's looking like the Mariner rebuild is well underway, and I almost feel bad for Will Myers. He's going to have to go to Seattle and play on some bad team. the guy can't catch a break. He was on, he was on what? He was on a bad, was it Miami did he start with?
No, Tampa.
Tampa, yeah. And then he went to a bad San Diego team. And, if this trade goes through, he's headed to a bad Seattle team.
Yeah, but
the guy may never be on a 500 team in his career.
Now, but this space definitely would make it definitely better situation for the Mariners, and that they'll drop two contracts, which I mean aren't super high, but you'd be paying less with having just the one guy as opposed to the two, which you're not going to be able to trade anyway. And with the rebuild going on, Mike Lee coming into the contract or signing the contract was looking at a possible playoff team. Now he's looking at playing for a team for what did you say it was yesterday or the other day? Like three or four more seasons on a team that's rebuilding?
Yeah.
So I don't think he would have too big of an issue. And, with that, and like you said, Freddie Galvis and Segura both have played at second base, so it might not be a bad thing to have these guys up the middle. It might be a good combination. Galvis was pretty good in Philly before he played with the camera on top of his head up the middle. But they, I think San Diego maybe turn it around a little bit. They definitely need starting pitching. So this this helps them. I think this is a good move. It would be a good move for San Diego. You know, and you never know with Will Myers coming to Seattle. Could they then turn around and sell him for some prospects?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's the plan here, because while next year Myers is only due $5.5 million, so he'll be a really good value for him then, but then in 2020, that salary jumps to $22.5 million for the next 3 years. So, yeah, I'm wondering if maybe he's just kind of passing through, you know, and he may be a guy they pick up just to turn around and move at the trade deadline, or maybe even before that if they can find the right deal for him. Because, you know, they're not going to want to carry that big-time salary in 2020.
No.
You know, they've got enough. Well, Felix will be off the books, but they'll still have Cano's, you know, number there. So, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a deal to make.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially if Seattle's able to move this season, I think on both ends of it, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal.
So, yeah, if they can get it worked out, of course, you know, that will be the big deal there. So we'll have to see. But in other Padre news, Dan, I know we actually mentioned this guy the other day because we were talking about position players who have done some pitching. The Padres sold Christian Villanueva to the Hanshin Tigers of the Japanese League.
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
I just saw that. Well, it was reported at 5:26, so just before you and I took the air. Villanueva spent all of last year in the minors. He never, he was never brought up. He wasn't even a September call up. So you got to figure there. You're right. I had him mixed up with the catcher. Now I'm confused, Dan. That was Christian Bethencourt I had him confused with.
Yeah.
This guy hit 20 bombs, then hit 236 for the Padres last year, played in 110 games. What the hell's going on?
honestly, I think he hit at least 15 of those bombs in a matter of a month. And then, he was pretty hot because he was – I know I was riding him a little bit in the home run derby, and then all of a sudden it's just, talk about fizzling out. I mean, he is the epitome of fizzling out.
I was totally off the track there on who I thought that was. So I apologize for that. But yeah, he's headed to Japan. Obviously it doesn't say, basically they just sold the contract. So it doesn't say what they actually got for him. But yeah, I was, a little off my rocker there. Sorry. I apologize for that. But, so yeah, bigger deal than I thought. So yeah, and then the other news, and again, I don't know, I know since you're at work, it's always kind of tough for you to see everything, but Adrian Beltre came out and announced his retirement after 21 seasons. So, did I kill Dan? Oh no, he's still there. I thought I heard some noise, but yeah. So Beltre is going to pack it in. I'm trying to remember how old he was here. Let me get his age and everything, so I'm up to date. He is 39. He would turn 40. He'll turn 40 in April. It was 21 years in the big leagues. He spent 8-8 with the Rangers, 7 with the Dodgers, 5 with the Mariners, and just 1 with the Red Sox. He's a four-time All-Star, five-time Gold Glove winner, four-time Silver Slugger winner, and then he won two Platinum Gloves. You know, he's definite Hall of Famer. I mean, he's got 3,166 hits to go with 477 career home runs. So, yeah, he's, you know, in 5 years, he's a first ballot guy, right, Dan?
Yeah, he should have stayed in and tried to get 33 more.
Yeah, you know, I really kind of thought he was going to play one more year. But, you know, with the way the game goes now, you have to wonder if there would have been any reasonable offers out there for him.
Yeah.
Just about the money
or kind of playing. And I guess you don't really want to play just to get 33 home runs.
Right, you know, and I mean, he had some injury issues the last couple years, and to be fair, he did hit 32 home runs in 2016, so you know he would need a year like that to kind of get there, and I'm not sure if, you know, would he have been given that the kind of playing time he needed now at age 40. But you know he does. You know he retires. Like I said, he's got the big hit and home run numbers. He is a .286 career hitter. So yeah, no doubt he should. You know, first ballot comes along, he should cruise right in. No real questions asked. Even though I did hear humorously, Dan, on MLB Tonight, I heard Brian Kenny kind of ripping on his stats.
Oh, God.
Because he's not a sabermetric darling. You know, there's no real big sabermetric numbers when it comes to Beltre. So, yeah, he was complaining how he never finished in, like, the top five of war for third baseman or slugging or an OPS plus slugging and, you know, all the stuff they kind of throw in for sabermetric. But yet, you know, what really matters is how he did on the field, and hopefully the voters are smart enough to realize that Brian Kenny's a moron and he really doesn't know anything about baseball, just numbers. So.
Well, not only that, WAR is not a recognized stat on Major League Baseball's website, so.
Yeah, well, none of those stats should be, you know, really recognized on, you know, anything. You know, again, Dan, you know, it kind of baffles me. Look back away around to the, you know, the football conversation we started with. You know, everybody is so enamored with these stats and sabermetrics and how to kind of work all this stuff in. Doesn't it, you know, maybe I'm mistaken here because, you know, I'm fat stupid, but isn't the really important thing to win?
Yeah, but.
Okay.
That's what's happening in, you know, basically a narcissistic world today. That we live in. It's all about the individual when it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, because I just kind of, and that kind of, like I said, it kind of started off this morning. So they were talking about, you know, how great Patrick Mahomes was and stuff. And all I kept thinking is, wait, didn't they lose? you know, and it was just like, you know, in the end, they, you know, great, he had a great game, but. The important thing is to win, and he didn't win. If you look at Adrian Beltre, you'd say he's a winner. You know, I know he didn't get the World Series, but a lot of guys go into the Hall of Fame without World Series numbers. So to start throwing this sabermetric garbage at him, I'm like, yeah, okay, shut up. So.
Well, not only that, I mean, the guys that go out and play on the field, they play to win the World Series, albeit the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, or the NBA trophy, which I can never remember what it is because it's a cool name to it. Adrian Beltre didn't start 20 years ago worrying about the Hall of Fame. You know, that's kind of something that they deal with and worry about after their career is over.
It's a It's just so, and I know I always end up being the guy who kind of takes shots at Brian Kenny, but, let's kind of look at it for what it was. Why are you, with Adrian Beltre's numbers, how do you not consider him a Hall of Famer because he's not sabermetrically inclined or whatever?
Right. Yeah, when you not only that, when you're trying to compare the entire era of baseball, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Each era of play is different from the next. So the game has progressed. Can you imagine if they played the way they did in 07? Every time a foul ball was hit or a home run, you'd have to throw it back because they only have one base.
Yeah. So we didn't have enough baseball to go around.
So whether some guy who played in 1902 war is 9,000 compared to Adrian Beltre, it's really not even a comparison. You cannot compare it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too, but, that's the way it is now. Everything has got to be sabermetrically quantified for, it to pass. And, obviously we saw that in, the way the award voting went this year. Nothing important really mattered, especially in the American League. They didn't care one bit about what, a guy actually meant to a team or, helping your team win. They just cared about what the sabermetric stats said, and, that was all that was important. So, yeah, you just kind of wonder if this is the road we're going down. And
well, I think James, whatever his name is, that invented the whole sabermetric game. I forgot his last name now. Or is his first name James? I don't even remember.
His last name is James. Bill James.
Bill James. There we go. When he opened his mouth, fire everyone on the team next year, and still put together a World Series team. And, of course, he was speaking of the Red Sox. I don't think he was speaking of them in general, but I think that's what it came out to sound like. And he's not technically an employee, but a consultant for the team. So, he really shoved his foot down his throat with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did see it humorous. Did you see how fast the Red Sox came out and distanced themselves from him when they when after he said that, how, he doesn't work for the team, he's just a consultant?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I would have did, too. And I would have said, and we're no longer using his services.
So, yeah, I thought that was I thought that was humorous on how quick they started to bail water there, going, oh, boy, we got to get out from under this one fast. So let's go. What do we got?
I guarantee you, though, you could get rid of everybody on that Red Sox team next year, and guess what? They won't win a World Series.
No. I did want to, ask you, I know we're getting close to being done here, but I had to, bring up your and mine's kind of out-of-the-box favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, again. Did you see that John Wall got fined for swearing at his coach during practice?
No, I keep seeing NBC Sports Chicago kind of implying that he might come here.
Oh, great. That's what they need. The Bulls are going to pay him all that money that his contract balloons up to next year. Apparently, the way the story goes, and again, who knows what is actually what when it kind of comes to this stuff. The coach, who is Scott Brooks, was trying to get them to up the intensity at practice yesterday or 2 days ago. And, yeah, apparently Wall just kind of told them to F off. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, there we go. So,
well,
yeah.
You've got to wonder with Wallace, he's kind of an – and I know a lot of the guys, you know, are kind of divas, but my cousin-in-law actually, he works in acoustics and does the sound speakers and all that good stuff for many of the Chicago teams. I forgot which ones. I know he does the White Sox. But he said he also, you know, was in Washington and they do the sound system there for that arena. And, you know, he's walking around like the big shot he is with his all-access pass. And he said he was just kind of on the court, you know, standing there. And this guy is not a basketball fan or a sports fan, for that matter, at all. And he said he didn't know who the hell it was, but some guy on the team, you know, the ball went to – his name's Jim. Went bouncing to Jim. Jim picked it up, looked at him, and threw him the ball. And the guy gave him the look that – you know who I am? You should be honored to throw the – that's what the impression he got. You should be honored that you were able to throw the ball to me. And you've got to wonder with all the stuff that's been coming out with, on John Wall and, like, the issues you brought up, I think it was last season, with he and Bradley Beal, if he's kind of the Jimmy Butler of the team. Wow, that happened pretty quickly over the last couple of years. You're going to be the Jimmy Butler of a team.
But, yeah, you know, and, of course, you know, the Wizards are still, you know, they've come out and said that they're willing to trade anybody. You know, pretty much everybody is available. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if they can manage to find papers or, you know, how that will work out for them. But. You know, that's a team that, you know, like that's, they've always kind of perplexed me, you know, with the fact that they look like they have talent and they look like they should be really good. And for whatever reason, God only knows why, it doesn't seem to work there.
You know, I like to say, Jack, that that's a common theme in Washington, but. You know, the Capitals really turned that one around.
Yeah. So, yeah, they made a kind of broke that there for Washington. But, yeah, it's just kind of baffling. You know, we'll see who goes where.
Sports time.